demon of discouragement. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That's Steve Brown, and this is Key Life. He doesn't think of himself as super spiritual, but he is honest. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it. To apply it to daily living. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your time of worship and celebration was as uplifting and non-condemning as mine was, and I hope your pastor's sermon meant as much to you as my pastor's sermon meant to me. If you're just joining us on Key Life, we're in the middle of a series titled God, Pain, Suffering, and What Do You Do When Bad Things Happen? A lot of this material is taken from my book, When Your Rope Breaks. You can get that at your local bookstore. Get it from Key Life. And I don't get anything for these books. Anything that is made off of them, and frankly, not a lot is, given to Key Life. So I'm not hustling books. But at any rate, we've been spending a lot of time on this subject, and we're going to get back to our Old Testament survey in 2 or 3 weeks. But right now we're talking, and you can't talk about suffering and pain without talking about discouragement. Before we talk about that, let's do, as is our practice, let's go before the throne before we study the book. Father, we're glad we belong to you. We remember where you found us, and sometimes we think about home. But Father, in between, it's hard sometimes. The pain is sometimes deep. The loneliness sometimes gets to us. The secrets that we dare not share, sometimes they almost eat us alive. And so, Father, we come to you because you're our resource and you're adequate and you're sufficient. We come to you because we belong to you. We're bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. Father, make us your servant, but more than that, remind us that we're your child. Father, heal and cleanse and change and motivate, and may we rise up and bless your name. May the world hear the laughter of our redemption. Father, as we study your word this week on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches. They call him reverend, and he's not much. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Talking about discouragement. Have you ever been around somebody who's just gone through a horrible, horrible time? A number of months ago, in fact, it's been over a year now, my wife had a bout with pneumonia. And you've got to know my wife. She's like a rock. She never changes. When I go home this evening, she's going to be just the way she was when I left this morning. I'm mercurial. I mean, I get depressed easy. I get elated easy. People would say I was manic depressive, but it's not a psychotic state. It's my normal state. I mean, I whiff and waff, and I'm married. God has given me a wonderful gift of a wife who is like a rock in my life. Well, anyway, a number of months ago, she went through a bout with pneumonia. Now, we didn't know it was pneumonia. They did an x-ray of her lungs, and there was this mass on her lungs. The doctor said, we're not sure. We hope it's pneumonia. So they started giving her antibiotics, and then they took some more x-rays, and there were nodules, and they were talking about steroids, and they were talking about surgery. I mean, this was not a good time. And Anna was still the rock that she always was. I'd come home, and she spent much of those 7 months in bed, but I could tell with her red eyes that she had been crying. And that she was down, and she wanted to get out of that bed, and she wanted to resume her life, and she was just so discouraged. I know what that's like. I watched that in her, and I've seen it in me, and she's out of it now, and God has brought, but during that time, because that is the ugly sister of pain and suffering and guilt and hurt and wounds, the ugly sister is discouragement, and you hardly get one without the other. So, when and if you go through that kind of stuff, you will go through discouragement. And we're talking about some of the things that you can do about it. Now, if you were listening last week, and some of you weren't, and I know your names, We looked at Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and we talked about the great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin. I think the weight is the discouragement and the sin, which they always tell you, but those are the little things that really aren't sin, but you ought not do. That's called the neurotic side of the Christian church. So if you don't have enough to feel guilty about, let's add to that. You're not smiling enough. After all that Jesus is doing. No, I think that what he's talking about, discouragement, that it gets us down. And the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's a wonderful statement. Now, the witnesses to which the writer of Hebrews is referring are the people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Those are the great saints who are really messed up. I mean, we don't have a nice family. Don't you wish God had hidden some of that stuff? No, you don't. Because if he had hidden it, we would have thought the Christian faith was only for good people. So we got these bunch. One's a prostitute. They're adulterers. They're liars. They're cheats. And these are the roll call of the saints that had faith, and it was accounted to them as righteousness. And then the 12th chapter of Hebrews opens with, therefore. Why is the therefore, therefore? Talking about the people that he just mentioned. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And those witnesses, Jeremiah says, Steve, don't you shilly-shally. I wasn't that good myself, and I failed a lot. But don't you get discouraged. You get up. You keep on walking. It's good. It's good to have a great cloud of witnesses. Now, let me give you some new material. The demon of guilt. Now, the passage quoted that I just quoted from Hebrews 12 not only suggests that we have company, but it also reminds us that we have been forgiven. Listen. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm discouraged, the first thing I do is look at my sin, and I don't have any trouble finding it. I find a bunch. Guilt, you see, is a part of the demonic element in discouragement. How do you lay aside the weight and the sin? You do it with confession, resting in the promise. And this is 1 John 1:9. You should have memorized it, but if you haven't and you want to turn to it to check me out, go ahead. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. I just talked to a dear friend of mine, and he confessed his sin to me this morning with great tears. And he's talking about a particular sin that went back years. And I said, do you think, Bill, and that was not his name, do you think, Bill, that God lied to you? And he's a religious professional, so he preaches grace. And I said, what, have you been lying to your people? You think God's a child abuser? Do you think he'll do what he said? The first time you confessed it, you were forgiven. Thereafter is from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. Discouragement hardly ever grows in the soil of forgiveness. Let me say that again because that's so very good. Discouragement hardly ever grows in the soil of forgiveness. When I was in high school, a group of my friends and I had an all-night party about 3 in the morning. This is confession time. And the statute of limitations, and it wasn't that bad. 3 in the morning, somebody said, suggested that we go swimming in the pool at an exclusive club in a hotel downtown. It was really dark when we climbed the fence and approached the pool. Having a great time until one of my friends jumped off a high diving board, sitting on an inner tube. When he hit the water, it sounded like a shotgun blast, and before we knew what was happening, the lights started going on in Odell. The night watchman came running out of his office with his gun and his flashlight. He said, well, what'd you do? We ran. What do you think we do? I have gum written all over my forehead. I'm climbing over the fence and running to the car, and I look back over my shoulder. And this may not be funny to you, but it was really funny. I see my friend, the one who had jumped off the high diving board, trying to climb the fence with that inner tube stuck to his posterior. Bill, I yelled back, drop the inner tube or that sucker's going to get you. He'll swipe that inner tube. If things are really bad, you already have enough trouble with adding guilt to the pile. You've already seen that there is no absolute correlation between your sin and your pain, so don't forget to throw away the inner tube. Examine your life, accept your forgiveness, and don't keep carrying around the inner tube of guilt. Let me show you something else. Let me just mention it because I'm about out of time, but I'll talk more about it tomorrow. The author of Hebrews says that we are so empowered in great ways to endure the pain, and here it comes. This is Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What does that mean? That means he's the man, and that means you belong to him. That means that no Christian has a right to be discouraged as long as God is God. When Lincoln had died and they were taking his body through the streets of the city, people were weeping. And an African American woman stood up and said, "Stop your crying. Lincoln's dead." God isn't. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our catalog, well, it's not catalog. Catalog implies marketing and pretty pictures trying to sell you something. This is just a computer printout of the stuff we have in our warehouse. And when you need the perfect gift, or you need a tape on a particular subject, you can just pick up the phone and order it. And I'll send it to you free. Give us a call, 1-800-KEYLIFE, 24 hours a day. Or you can write KEYLIFE, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or KEYLIFE, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address, and ask for the catalog listing, and we'll send it to you free. You can ask to be a part of KEYLIFE Tapes. We'll do that free. Or the booklet we're offering this month, send that to you free, too. And I really mean it when I say it's free. But that doesn't mean that I'll turn down a contribution. I have a friend, I think I told you, he sent me a wonderful email. Said, ask for money, but don't sound like a television evangelist. Listen, I promise we'll be faithful with every dime you send. I promise. And you'll help so many other Christians. You can charge on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching how to pray properly. Be sure and give us a call on this at the station. And oh yes, KEYLIFE is a listener-supported production of KEYLIFE Network.